Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Farmer Sense Podcast. I am your host, Rick Willard. And with me, as always, is Andrew Fuff.
Good morning, Rick, or good afternoon. Depends on when you want to say it is.
Yeah. It's a good day either way. It's nice out. It's supposed to be 55 degrees. It is currently Friday morning when we're recording this. We had a really awesome guest with us last night on the 4th of April.
Yes.
Mitchell Hora from Continuum Ag. I'm sure everybody's heard of him. He's very well known with his carbon intensity scores, 45Z, et cetera.
Yep. Well, I mean, if you haven't heard of him, you need to hear of him, and you need to hear of Continuum Ag and what they're doing to help farmers. Maybe that might be our profit the next couple of years.
Yeah, and maybe the only profit.
Exactly.
Correct.
So very, very smart guy. Very interesting conversation we had yesterday. So I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, he was great. He's very enthusiastic. He likes what he's talking about. He enjoys it. That's what makes him so good at it. And that's why we appreciated him joining us. We've been trying to track him down for the last few weeks, and he has been very busy. He talks about where he's been and how much, and pretty crazy.
Yeah, so as if you continue on the podcast, I'm just going to give this out again. So if you miss it during the podcast, you can come back just to the beginning. But the code for his product for on the website to get your CI score is BBC95. That'll get you a 95% discount.
And that is the topsoil.ag website.
Correct. Thank you.
Or you can go to continuum.ag, and there's a link to that as well.
Hey, nice hat.
Farmer Sense Podcast.
That's right. Those are badass hats.
Apparently nobody wants one because I haven't got a single email with anybody's saying they've subscribed or anything. So I guess we have a lot of we got quite a few now on, I call quite a few on YouTube. But there's enough that I'd be out of hats right now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and thanks to the people that are following us on TikTok. We went over 500 followers this week, so that's positive.
Over 500,000. Did you hear that, everybody? That's amazing.
Nope. I think you added the 1,000.
Oh, okay.
I like your optimism, though.
Okay, great.
We're going to have to drop a lot more F-bombs if we're going to get that high.
Yeah, and start taking my shirt off and dancing.
I guess I could get unsubscribers.
I was just thinking of what some of the things on TikTok, how they get how they're influencers. Some of those gals are pretty interesting, to say the least.
That's funny. Well, sometime here, Rick and I are going to start doing some TikTok lives at night from the tractor, and so we hope you want to join along to those too. So,
yeah, just got to get in a tractor first.
Yep, I'm going stripping today. So,
what'd you do all week?
That's an excellent question. What did I do all week?
You did some controlled burns.
Yep, did some controlled burns, helped the fire department out that I'm on, and helped a friend burn a building last night, stripped. Just been getting some stuff around to be ready to start planting if it ever gets nice. We had a nice rain last week, and then it just kind of was misty Monday, Tuesday, part of Wednesday, so nothing too exciting, to be honest. Worked on the semi a little bit.
Yeah, same. It's dry here. I had a chance to go with Jacob Cordova from Bright Yeti to Illinois on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we ran into a heck of a snowstorm in the Dubuque area, and it was bad. It was slushy bad. That was Tuesday, and by Tuesday evening, the roads were cleared and everything, but they had water sitting everywhere. Their creeks and stuff were running. I heard Matt Bennett this morning on Joe Vaklevic on his YouTube channel, and he said that they had like 3 inches or something in Illinois, and you could tell they just got dumped on, the water sitting in fields and everything. And I was like, God, I'm so glad we got all that rain. So we come back home and there was like nothing. It's already dust flying on the road. So north central, northeast Iowa, we got hosed again.
Yeah, our soil profile is still pretty dry. I mean, we had an inch 60 last week and it's already gone. I mean, it's dry. I'm going to be running today. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We're going to keep this one short for the intro, right?
Because
so much good information from Mitchell.
Yeah, he spoke for an hour. It was great.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yep. Hope everybody enjoys it.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Hey, Mitchell. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
We are so
excited stuff going on.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. We've been trying for like 3 weeks, and you are the busiest guy on the planet, or in Iowa for sure.
I'm trying. Yeah, wow. I've done, just come back about midnight last night from a gig in Ohio. I've done 32 speaking gigs so far this year. I've put about 20,000 miles on my truck and a bunch of flights too. We're burning it up. I had to get new tires. We'll put it that way.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to say thank you from everybody. Here, well, here. Yeah, that's for you, Mitchell. You know why? Because we love it that you're teaching us how to this whole CI score, this whole carbon. Even back in, 2015 when you started Continuum Ag, just the whole soil health thing, that is so big. And it's become such a big deal with Andrew and I as well. So
yeah, when I started it, you know, that was right at the very beginning. Actually, one of my main mentors that I was working with as an intern that helped me get things going at that time, he's like, hey, you know, I know what you're trying to get going and it's great and we're here to support you, but don't put all your eggs in the soil health basket. Do regular crop consulting, regular soil sampling, and then soil health can maybe just be a side thing.
Yeah.
That was 2015.
Yeah.
And now it's like, geez, I mean, it's the thing.
It is.
And unfortunately that mentor passed away a couple of years ago and isn't there to see all this, you know, the rest of the way. But obviously he's watching down. They're like, this is where it's going.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
And obviously, as you guys are saying, like, I'm freaking all in. I flipped my company on its head Christmas of last year.
Yeah.
And just we're doing it. And it's so right. It's such the right thing, but not without a lot of backlash and stuff too. Sometimes telling the truth, you get backlash. And especially at the level that we're doing it.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that do not want us telling the truth at the directness and at the scale that we're telling the truth, but it's the right thing to do. And that's one of our core values and we've got to keep doing it. And it's going to work.
You got the perfect podcast for telling the truth. Just say it however you want to say it. Yeah, absolutely. We love it. It's awesome. Yeah. So excited to have you.
No, your energy has been awesome. We met you down at Houston at the Commodity Classic. I'm like, after talking to you immediately, I'm like, this is the guy we need to talk to. And I went and we didn't do the CI score, and we'll talk about that in a little bit that day. But I'm like, he knows what's going on. And he's so excited and just pushing the ag. And so just excited to have you here, Mitchell.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. But I mean, as hopefully everyone by the end of this recording too, they're going to know like why I'm so excited about it and why it's such a big deal. And like, I don't know why more people aren't talking about it, to be honest. And part of it is we don't have all the rules yet. We got to, you know, just from the very beginning, we're going to talk about tax credits here today. We're going to talk about carbon intensity and we don't know all the final IRS rules.
Right.
They're still being written and we have no idea when they're going to be written. And this whole thing could go up just and be a big bunch of nothing. But the law is written such that, like, it's a big deal. So that's what we're banking on, you know, and at least moving forward that this is going to happen. It's going to happen the way that the law is written. And if we have to go to plan B, then we go to plan B. Like, that's fine. But we're pushing full speed ahead.
Perfect. So I guess we'll talk about the law. It's 45Z. Is the law, right?
And so that's the tax code. Part of the Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's where it started, was the Inflation Reduction Act to push towards greener fuel, right?
You got it. So this is a clean biofuel production tax credit. So it's not a farmer tax credit, right? It's a biofuel producer tax credit. And but part of earning the tax credits is they can purchase low carbon feedstock like corn and soybeans. Use low carbon corn and soybeans to to produce low carbon biofuel. And that's where on the farm we can tie in and work together here to say, hey, farmers are doing pretty good practices, right? And efficient. And some are using cover crops or no till, but a lot of people getting pretty good yields and using, you know, more variable rate and better precision ag technologies. Like all that stuff adds up to us doing a pretty good job compared to the defaults and the benchmarks. Mm-hmm. We just got to tell that story. And now there's an opportunity for farmers and biofuel companies to collaborate together to tell that story at scale and make a lot of money with tax credits, or potentially a lot of money with tax credits. But it's too big of an opportunity to sit on the sidelines and wait.
So my favorite part about it is it's paid by the bushel, or that's how it's credited. It's not credited by the acres, or, you know, I haven't signed up for anything when it comes to carbon yet. I've been very hesitant because a lot of people have said, like, don't jump in, don't do it too soon. Well, I'm kind of glad I haven't, but all those places, you know, they'd come out and do soil tests and they, you know, they wanted 16 years or not 16, geez, back to 2016 or 2018 information, you know, like this isn't nothing like that. And this isn't even going to, I mean, it's the farmers doing it, but it's the ethanol plants that are getting the tax credit, not the farmer.
That's right. And so therefore it's just, what is the carbon footprint of the gallon of ethanol, right? That's what matters. Mm-hmm. So at the end of calendar year 2025, the ethanol plant will have one CI score, and that'll be the weighted average of their entire 2025 production. So of every gallon that they produced, say it's 100 million gallons, right? Fairly average size, or that's kind of the typical, you got a range of all kinds of size, but called 100 million gallon ethanol plant. Mm-hmm. And they're going to end up with one CI score, which is the weighted average of all the gallons that they produced. And part of that score is a weighted average of all the bushels that they purchased that went into that. And the bushels today are more than 50% of the carbon footprint of the gallons. And we have the biggest opportunity to not just lower our footprint, but actually go carbon negative and really lower the overall impact. But yeah, for some clarification on these carbon programs, I haven't really done anything either. We did one this past year. It was a carbon inset project. So it was a one-year deal, very flexible. Early adopters such as ourselves, we've been no-tilling since 1978. We've been cover cropping since 2013, right? Like, we didn't qualify for none of these deals.
You're right.
Yep. But this one we did. It was pretty decent money, a one-year look-back contract. So we did it. But this the carbon programs that most farmers probably think of, those are carbon offsets, right? And creating carbon credits for the voluntary carbon market, where a company can help farmers document the change of practice, right? And trigger additionality. And based on that additionality, you change your carbon footprint, and that change in carbon footprint, you can quantify and put towards how many tons of carbon did we change, and create carbon credits representing the change in the tons of carbon. But usually you've got to be sequestering then those tons for 100 years, you know, or you've got to be doing the practices and be involved in the project for 10 years or 5 years. Yeah. And long term, and usually not that great of money and too risky for most farmers. And that's why, you know, according to Farm Journal, Trust in Food, less than 3% of farmers have enrolled in one of those programs. It's just not working, right? And that's what I love about this CI thing so much. There is no contracts. There is no program. There is no additionality. It's simply quantifying your practices that you did on that bushel. And when you sell the bushel, you can sell the data with it, and that's the next guy's footprint, and you're done. Mm-hmm. It's our carbon footprint associated with our bushels. Then when those bushels go to the elevator or go to the ethanol plant, now it's their carbon footprint and their bushels. And we're done.
Awesome. Yeah. And that brings up a great question, because I've always thought about the ethanol plant only, you know, is where we're going to take these tax credits. How is it going to work with your local co-op?
Yeah, because mine all goes to the co-op.
Yeah, they got to get going on it. They probably don't know nothing about it, right? They need to be paying attention to this stuff. So, I mean, how it's going to work, right? So most of your grain goes to the co-op. A lot of it does, right? A lot of it goes to the elevator. Most of it going to those biofuel facilities, most of it is going through an elevator. So they need to be basically paying the premium and blending bushels just like the ethanol plant would. It's just one step in there. So how they'll do it is that they'll pay you a premium based on your CI score. They're buying the bushels and they're buying the data. They're going to take your low CI corn, blend it with high CI corn or everyone else's corn or corn that doesn't have a score. Therefore, it's the default. Because guess what? Whether you like this stuff or not, whether you like the government or not, whether you're pissed about, you know, these programs happening, doesn't matter. Because guess what? We all got a score. I don't necessarily like that it's government either. I don't necessarily like that it's tax credits and how fragile it is. And I don't necessarily like that it's only ethanol, because most of my corn goes to feed pigs. Oh. Mine doesn't go to ethanol. Like,
right.
Now it's going to need to with this. Like, I'm going to have to figure it out. my score is worth potential for a lot of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, the local elevator, they've got some opportunity in this too. They're going to make some money in this. They can buy your corn, blend it with other people's corn, update the weighted average score of all their bushels, right? So if your score is a zero and the corn that's in the bin, you know, so if you have 10,000 bushels of corn, that's a zero, and 10,000 bushels of corn, that's a 20. Now we've got 20,000 bushels, that's out of 10, right? So it's a weighted average, and that'll just constantly be updated, right? Every load will change the weighted average. Every load going out would have the score of the bushels on hand at that time. So it's just math. It's just simple math of adding the CI score to the scale ticket. That's how it'll work. So every load will have a CI score. It's either the farmer actual score, and it's the score with a verification report attached to it. That's what we do. Or it's the default, and the default numbers suck because they're very conservative numbers from the Department of Energy. They're very outdated. And in most cases, the score, the default is around a score of 29, mm-hmm. 29 to 30. But in reality, we found that the average farmer has a score of 11.0 is our current average. So okay. Significantly better than those defaults. But yeah, the elevators need to be buying the corn, blending it, because they're going to be asked what's the CI score when they deliver it, mm-hmm. if they're delivering to the ethanol plant. And they don't want it to all be the default. And because the farmers, you'll have to just go around them if they don't want to participate. Like, we're going to find ways to just have to work direct with the ethanol plant. But those guys have a real opportunity here, and they should continue to play in this space, but they need to be paying attention and start working on it now.
Yeah, for sure. I I worry about them not being up to date on it. And that, you know, all this is a great idea, but does doing this like put us, or no, it wouldn't put the farmer, it would put the end user into like some kind of an audit, wouldn't it? I mean, how do they know?
You bet.
How do they know it's for real, that they're not just lying about it?
Yeah, so let's work it backwards, right?
Okay,
so at the end of the year, somebody is submitting to the IRS what their tax return was, and that tax, you know, that tax bill impacted by their tax credit, right?
Yeah.
In most cases, the ethanol company, a lot of these ethanol companies, right, they're co-ops and stuff. They don't actually pay federal income tax. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're going to sell their tax credits to somebody else. Call it Goldman Sachs, right? Goldman Sachs buys the tax credits. They then report to the IRS that they use these tax credits. Goldman Sachs gets audited, right? Mm-hmm. All the time, I'm sure. Yeah. So then they've got to be able to prove that they bought these tax credits, that it was legit. So if when they get audited, then it's going to go back to the ethanol plant to be able to back up that those tax credits were real. Let's just make it easier that it's the ethanol plant using the tax credits themselves, okay. Which they could do that. And then if they have extra credits, they can sell them on the open market. For today, I'm hearing that the rate for these would be about 92 to 96 cents on the dollar, right? Okay. You're selling them at a discount. Somebody's making a little bit of margin on it, not paying as much taxes. So that's the game. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. This is not new. Tax credits are not new. So, but the ethanol plant, in order to create the tax credit, they have to create what's called an opinion letter. Just like with R&D tax credits or any other tax credits, an opinion letter is created by a CPA firm. You, in most cases, a CPA firm would take the data and say, yep, here was your CI score. We can see that it was legit. Here's how many tax credits you would be due. Here's the opinion letter. And here's the data that we use. And here's our opinion letter that here's how many tax credits you would be owed. And then you file your taxes with the utilization of those credits or report where you sold the credits to. So in order for that CPA firm to create the opinion letter, they've got to have the data, and it's going to have to have gone through a third party verification. And that data would be about the CI score of all the gallons of ethanol that was produced. So that third party verifier has to verify that the CI score was legit. Mm-hmm. As part of that verification, they're going to have to randomly audit some of the farmers and the bushels, call it 20% or something like that, right? Or okay. one square root of the farmers. What I'm wanting to make sure that we do is that the farmer has already been through a verification, that that data is already legit. And that's ultimately what ContinuMax's business model is. We charge the farmer $5 an acre, help them get all their data organized, and proactively get it verified. So we're documenting our farming practices throughout the fall of 2023 through growing season of 2024. When we harvest in 2024, we submit the data to the verifier, and it gets verified basically in near real time, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as we get harvested, we got all the data organized, get it verified, done deal. If we don't, and then you can earn a better premium because it's legit. You got the data. I'm like, you're avoiding the liability. For farmers that aren't verified, the audit that I was just describing from the ethanol standpoint, that'd be at the end of 2025. Or say the audit from the IRS standpoint, that's not till you submit your tax return, which would be in 2026. Then they go through an audit later. That could be 2026, 2027, or later. Hmm. If your name gets drawn at that point, you'd have to go back through and prove your records from your crop year 2024, which would include records from fall of 2023. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the biggest pain in the freaking butt ever.
Yeah.
So, and dealing with government, dealing with IRS. I'm trying to avoid that. So, that's why we are saying, let's get proactive on this, guys. It's $5. I'm trying to do this as minimal as I can, but we've got to get our data organized and get it through verification to avoid all that potential liability and the fraud and the environmental groups coming after us, calling us out for greenwashing.
Yeah.
We've got the data. Like, we all have this type of data. We just need to get it organized and put it through a verification, just like organic farmers do every single year. We're right. just not verifying that it was organic. We're just verifying that the CI score was legit. So that takes records about fertilizer, tillage, cover crop, manure, yields. It's just the management practice data. We submit that to the verifier, get it signed off on, and then the farmer owns that data. And whoever's going to want to play ball and whoever wants to buy that data and buy those low carbon bushels, that's who's going to get the opportunity.
So the name, the name of your program is Topsoil. So you're kind of like, that's like, you're the accountant. You're the really yeah. good accountant that has clean records with all of your customers and all of your clients, and that never gets audited. So
I haven't thought about it that way. Right?
I mean, but
it's kind of like TurboTax, right? So when you do your taxes, right, you use TurboTax, whatever some people do.
Yep.
So some people use TurboTax, not us on the farm, right?
We're right.
yeah.
You get creative on the farm. But some people, right, they use TurboTax or some kind of software. They plug in, here's our stuff.
Yeah.
And then they provide the reports or whatever to verify that it was legit. It gets a stamp of approval, and there you go. So, right. I mean, it's probably not the greatest analogy, but yeah, I mean, we're helping the farmer to get the data put together, get the report created, and then just verifying in bulk to make it easier and be able to do it for only $5 an acre because yeah. we're doing it at such volume. But yeah, avoiding the fraud and avoiding liability, right?
Yeah, that
ultimately, all we know is what the farmer put into the thing. And the farmer, at the end of our deal, the farmer does sign an attestation letter, just like what we do every year for federal crop insurance. Mm-hmm. It's the farmer is attesting that what they put into the system was legit. They ultimately are taking on the liability. I don't think there's any other way around it. But it goes through the audit and then you're good. You know, it goes through the verification, goes through the audit process, stamp for approval, we're good to go. And then throughout the rest of the life cycle of that credit and that bushel should be smooth sailing. So
yeah.
Awesome. So
yeah, our software, you mentioned topsoil.ag is yep. the name of is where the software's at.
Yep. We're going to hit that up. We're going to show our YouTube viewers. I think, are you ready for that, Andrew?
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and dive right into it. We've kind of been bouncing around it here.
Yeah.
It's just going to be the easiest to go through there.
So yeah, on YouTube, we got the Continuum Ag website up there, which is Continuum Ag or continuum.ag. But then you can also hit a link to go. Yeah, what's the Topsoil My bad.
Topsoil.ag.
Topsoil.ag is.
Yeah. So it's just the name of the software, right? Just you know, like Corteva used to have Granular, right?
Yeah.
It's Granular. The company. We just have the name of our software is just called Topsoil.
Don't tell me you used to work for Granular because every single – okay. It seems like every person I talk to is like, oh, yeah, we were with Granular once.
No, buddies with plenty of them that were, but no, I started this thing in college. I've been doing this
And, you know, we're going to hit that at the end. We're going to do we kind of jumped ahead. That's okay. We just do everything. We're on a whim. We have no set schedule. But I do kind of want to hear your background from, you know, how you got into this. But let's hit up this Topsoil website first. Yep.
Okay. So this is kind of your dashboard page where everybody starts, right? And then you get the farm profile. You want to kind of talk about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, when you first log in, you can really only do one thing, right? And it kind of walks you through it. Like, we're trying to make this as simple as possible. So you hit farm profile, it probably automatically pops up the add crop thing. So you check your crops, but for the most part, just do corn, right? Do corn. We can do other stuff, but the CI score comes from the Department of Energy. And a scoring calculator called the GREET model. And it's really, really basic. So it's corn and soybeans. We can do sorghum and rice as well. But for today, like, corn is 95% of what we're doing. So yeah, so you hit corn, then you just filled out this survey, right? It's just, what are your typical practices?
Pretty simple. I mean, this is my account, so I've already filled this kind of out. So we can show what a CI score looks like.
Yep.
I've got cover crops in there. It's very simple, easy to use. I guess, I don't know, it's like a checklist. You just work your way down.
It's a little survey, right? So you either say, I don't use, or you put in an application. If there's a number already in there, that's a default, right? Like in the energy one, it already had some defaults. Oh, yeah, it looks like you kept them. So you should probably actually update some of this too, that you can edit that little pencil deal in the right corner. You can edit that. So those are the defaults. You can just change what your scores would be, like natural gas, right? You're not using any natural gas, so that one could be a zero.
Yeah.
If you're drying corn, it's probably with LP, right? So
yep.
Those are default numbers. Then submit that. That'll update your deal just a little bit. It won't make that big of an impact on your score, right? The biggest drivers of your score are you using the cover crop? Are you using manure? What's your fertilizer program? What's your tillage? What's your yield? And keep it simple. Like, just on the farm profile, it doesn't have to be perfect. Once we go through the verification process, which happens field by field, now we got to be dialed in. But when you're doing the farm profile, keep it easy. Do the 5-10 minute version of your cropping system and keep it simple.
I see Andrew plans on using his M Farm All because he's got like 1.3 gallons per acre there too of gasoline. So good for you. Good for you. Yeah. I'm glad you're old school like that. Hopefully it's for your Polaris Ranger or something.
It's for the Ranger and for the lawnmower. Come on, man.
Oh, the lawnmower. Shit.
Nah, those are
mine's default. A diesel.
I don't know how aggressive we got to get. Like, where does the boat fit in? Right. And like, does that fit in like that? I mean, that was the farm write-off, right? Like,
yeah. The pontoon I had for 3 years. Heck yeah.
I don't know where that factors into your CI score, but I mean, it's gotta be in there somewhere.
Somewhere. For sure.
So you did that, right? And then you already purchased. So on the right-hand side, there's a little purchase thing and anybody can utilize, our code. Okay. So we have the Billion Bushel Challenge going on. I'll get into that a little bit, but Billion Bushel Challenge. And so we're offering 95% off for any farmers that want to get their score. So BBC95, when you hit on the right hand side there, it already says purchased, but that used to be orange. You hit that. And you got the $500 CI score for $25. Right. So now your CI score right there next to your cursor, that's unlocked.
Yep.
Just to the right.
Sorry, did I hit the wrong one? There.
Done. There we go.
Yep, your CI score. All right.
And boom.
Now, this is corn on corn, strip till cover crops.
Nice. Yep. Corn on corn, strip till cover crop. Now, this is county by county based, right? So you could be doing the same practices on a farm in a different county, and the score will be different.
Okay.
But this is a really good score, okay? So the default score for most counties is around a 29. So you're at a negative 1.2. Cover crop is one of the biggest drivers. Reduced tillage or strip till like you're doing is big. No-till, of course, would be a little bit better, but probably only 2 or 3 points. We'll play with that in just a second.
Yep.
Your fertilizer, your yield, all that stuff factors in to be in a score of negative 1.2. Now, we show some dollars here. That is not what you're going to get paid. We have no idea what you're going to get yet. You're not going to get $1.64, which is what this says for anyone that's listening to.
That'd be nice.
How this works is we run the math as laid out as simple as we can today, but ultimately we don't know exactly what the dollars will be until we get the final rules from the IRS, and it'll be different for every ethanol plant because some of their nuance is a little bit different. Their starting CI score is different for every ethanol plant, and also the ethanol plant's conversion ratio of bushels to gallons is different every time. Okay, so what we do is we try to be conservative in this as much as we can. And we say that one bushel of corn in our system only creates 2.7 gallons of ethanol. And since in the law, it's laid out that the ethanol plant will earn up to 2 cents per CI point reduced per gallon. We take that 2 cents times 2.7. Most ethanol plants would be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But 2 cents times 2.7, that means it's 5.4 cents. Per point. We took that 5.4 cents times the delta between 29.1, a typical baseline, and your negative 1.2. Okay, so that's a 30-point drop, right? Or they're about 30-point drop. Mm-hmm. At 5.4 cents, I created $1.64 a bushel in tax credit opportunity. And with your yield, we're talking $450 an acre. We don't know what your cut is going to be, but we're talking a big pie. A heck of a lot better than any of these other sustainability programs, other carbon things that we've seen. If the ethanol plant does have their crap together and they're able to get the full $450 an acre in the tax credit value, like that's a big pie to go slice up and some big reward for the stuff that you're already doing, but they're paying for that legitimacy of the data. So you can be doing all the greatest practices in the world, but if you don't have the data to back it up, and if it hasn't been legitimized with verification, you're not going to get anywhere close to these dollars. Some ethanol plants are doing pilot projects today, paying farmers 2 cents a bushel, 5 cents a bushel, stuff like that. There was an ethanol plant that hosted a meeting a couple weeks ago. They said that out of that, call it $1.64, right? Out of that $1.64, in your case, they're going to cover their cost and then give the farmers 100% of the rest of the value, which that easily for you could be well north of a dollar a bushel, like amazing. Yeah. Now, I don't think most of them will do that.
No,
to be honest, what I'm hoping for is in that 30 to 50% or so going to the farmer, a 50-50 would be ideal, right?
Yep.
50% to the farmer, 50% to the ethanol plant. Both folks have plenty of costs that have to be covered. But I think that'd be ideal, but ultimately we don't know. So the urge for right now is, farmers, you need to know what your score is and need to know what the pie is. And we can work with our friends at the ethanol plant to go after these dollars together. You're not going to see a penny without the ethanol plant, and they're not going to earn the tax credits without your data. So we got to work together here. But gosh darn, like where else can we go and get $450 an acre back to our rural communities and to bolster up American ag and American energy? And
I just pray that that's how it works out for the farmer, because I am so afraid that 1 or 2 years we're going to get this, and then all of a sudden the landlords, the fertilizer company, yeah, the seed companies. Oh,
that's a guarantee.
They're all going to want their piece. And that just drives me nuts, but I get it. I get it. I do. Yeah. I mean, we keep it. Everybody wants their piece of their piece 100%. Of the pie. Yeah, I get it. So,
don't blame them. And that's where the world is, right? I mean, we have the corn price that we do today because government being involved, right? The price today, we have renewable fuel standard.
Yes.
We have other we have other subsidies and stuff like that. The prices are the way that they are today because of government interference. This is more the same. And it is going to increase inflation, not reduce inflation. That's a different rabbit hole. Oh. But anyway, so then from here, right, you can toggle your practices. Yep. And like for farmers that aren't using cover crops, right? You could see, well, what would happen if I did a cover crop, or as I change my fertilizer, you can recalculate at the bottom and it'll adjust your score for you. Yeah. So, but, and sometimes it's funky, right? Let's see what it do.
1.7. Yeah. And that's why I thought the negative 1.2 was low, because I was in here messing with it earlier, and I must have put my urea down to 100 pounds, which would be a little light. Yeah.
So
if you were 250 pounds of urea, so a little bit over that carbon neutral score of zero, but still, I mean, it's still worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's still, you know, $400 an acre, even if I get half that.
I mean,
30%. I mean, half that, it takes your 430 corn up to 650 again.
Yeah.
Realistically.
So using less nutrients, less fertilizer, you get a better score. Is that because of they think we're using too much, or is that because the fertilizer is mined with fuel, the trucking is fuel, everything requires energy to get this fertilizer on the ground? Is that why you get a better score? Is that, am I thinking that right?
Yes, or? Think of it as every pass across the field has a carbon footprint.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yep. Okay.
So you've got, you got diesel fuel, right? Yep. Fossil fuel, carbon footprint. And this is all still in terms of greenhouse gas equivalents.
Gotcha.
Is still the units on all this. Mm-hmm. Nitrogen fertilizer dinged you quite a bit there when you changed that, right? It was a couple points. And because 1 ton of nitrous oxide in the atmosphere is equivalent to almost 300 tons of CO2.
Okay.
Much more potent greenhouse gas. So in this system, it really knocks us for nitrogen fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Methane in the atmosphere is about 30 times the potency of CO2. So that's why like cattle and stuff get a really bad rap, because of the, it's the CO2 equivalent, right? Or the greenhouse gas equivalent. So that's why those things do it. But think of the score basically as every single pass across the field and everything that you do has a carbon footprint divided by the outcome, the yield, right? So it's your input divided by the outcome. And all these other carbon programs, it was simply about what were you sequestering per acre, right? And on a tonnage basis, this just divides that by the yield and puts it on a per bushel basis. Now we convert it. The units on this is grams of GHG equivalent or greenhouse gas equivalent per megajoule. That comes directly from the GREET model. Again, all these scores that you're seeing here, we didn't invent this. We're just running the Department of Energy GREET model. And this is just their score. We just made it easy because the GREET, like, I mean, you were showing our survey, right? It's not that tough, fairly straightforward. Keep it simple. The actual GREET model itself is developed by Department of Energy, you know, super nerds, super smart guys. They are not farmers, all right? We just put this in farmer language. And ultimately, I mean, we can go into my story and stuff too, like you alluded to, but like I built this thing for myself, right? I needed this for my own farm to be able to know, okay, what's my score, right? But also how do I improve my score? And then I need to document that so I can actually get paid for it. And I just know that the more legit the data is, the more valuable that it can be. If you just fill out a survey, that's worth like what FBN and ADM are doing today. You can fill out a survey, and when you deliver corn to ADM, it's worth, micronutrients won't really do anything. Just NPK. Okay. Yeah. Okay. When you deliver to ADM today, you can fill out a survey and get paid 2 cents a bushel for putting in your data. And, but it's not legit, right? Hasn't been through any verification, hasn't been through any audit. You're getting paid 2 cents to fill out a survey. Oh yeah. That knocked it. What the heck did you do? Oh, you turned off.
Yep. So that's what I was going to say. So like, I was going to get your guys' opinions on these as we went through them. Yeah. So like the average farmer, you know, not doing cover crops, conventional tillage, even, you know, a yield of 200 bushel, putting on 200 pounds of urea, 70 pounds of potash, a few micronutrients and 40 pounds of MAP.
Yep.
And I recalculated that comes up to an 18.4.
Yeah,
that's so still $116 an acre.
Yeah, and then if the farmer gets so called a third of that, right?
Right.
$40, $45, pretty dang good. Yeah, for a conventional farmer.
Right.
And remind everyone where this is your county, right?
Yes, this would be Montgomery County, Iowa. Sorry,
he's in Missouri.
Yeah. Missouri. Yeah, but every county is going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
What would happen? So 200 pounds of urea for 200 bushel corn, that's pretty light. Right. So if anything, that would probably be where we need like some 32% in there or some anhydrous or something like that. Because just 200 pounds, that's like 100 units of your reel, right?
90 Yeah, it's not showing actual. It's showing the elemental or not elemental.
Yeah, it's pounds total. Of product, right? We keep it in farmer language of how many pounds you actually apply.
Okay.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. But if you were to have more, right, that would take it up even higher. So.
Yeah. So I figured 200 pounds of actual nitrogen.
Yeah.
So that'd be 300 pounds of urea. Something that's a 21-1.
21, yeah. So it's still better than a 29, the default. But so that's what I love about this too. Like by and large, farmers are doing pretty good. Now this is 200 bushel corn, okay? Right. In the default score, the default yield is like 178 bushel, something like that. So that's a big piece of this and why even with conventional farming, but having 200 bushel corn, you're still seeing a better than a 29 score.
Right? Yeah.
And just going to just no-till on that, it went to a 17.
Yeah. That was like a 4 or 5 point drop there.
Yeah. Yeah. About a 5 point drop. So,
but the cover crop is a big one, right? When you did the cover crop, that's the big one. And now that changes, right? So you're talking Southern Iowa, south of 80, really good. As you get further and further north, you get some funkiness in certain counties. Doesn't respond near as good. Yeah. What? 18 point drop. It's crazy. Crazy.
Just for the cover crop. So basically it comes down to the cover crop is the biggest deal.
Yeah. If you were to do manure, if you were to replace your synthetic fertilizer with manure or just add manure, that helps a lot too.
I would love to naturally do that anyway, but I can't get it.
No, that's what's great on this stuff. Like, hey, if you can get some of that manure, but what this will also incentivize is we need to spread that manure out across more acres, right? Spread the manure across more acres, getting cover crop on more acres. But why I like this too is we still got to have yield. We still got to have productivity in agriculture. So that's good. And what it also like, I mean, you've already been doing these things, right? And so now you have a great score and able to actually monetize what you've already been doing.
Yeah. And what yield did you have in there, Andrew? 200?
That one was 200.
I mean, if he was going to be realistic, I mean, he could have put 275 in there. I know he could have put better. I was just playing it.
No, that's what you were at the beginning, right? At the beginning,
I was at 275.
You were okay. My bad. I didn't see that.
But so that didn't matter. I mean, honestly, that didn't.
Oh, no, I just thought it maybe spread out the average more of the higher yield.
Yeah, okay. Likely will. And part of that is it's still going to be updated too. All the scores that we run today, keep in mind, there's a brand new GREET model supposed to come out anytime.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out March 1st. And we were down in Houston.
Yep.
And then they gave a big old nothing sandwich down there.
Yep.
So we're still sitting here waiting, more than a month later and just no idea as to when they're going to actually abide by their promise to get the rules written. Mm-hmm. We're still just waiting.
Yeah. Okay.
You have a question, Rick? Or
no, I don't. That was like drinking from a fire hose.
So
why I love it.
Ethanol plants, are they going to have the pipeline? Is that going to matter? Or is it where they ship the fuel?
No, good question. So the pipeline is a CO2 pipeline too. Instead of the emissions coming off of a pipeline going into the atmosphere, right? Because pipeline, how ethanol works is it's a biological process, right? And you have yeast and they're emitted off CO2. There's a lot of CO2 that's produced in that process. So rather than it be emitted, they're capturing it, compressing it to a liquid, and then putting it in a hole in the ground. Some ethanol companies, like some guys in Nebraska, some of them up in North Dakota and stuff, in Ohio, they can just go straight down and just capture the CO2, put it down in a geological formation in the ground. In Iowa, we don't have that geological formation, right? So that's where the pipeline comes in to grab that CO2 and pipe it up to North Dakota, put it in a hole in the ground there. So your score, right, was about 30 points lower than the baseline. So instead of being at a 29, you were at a -1, right? A 30 point drop. Mm-hmm. On average, we found that our farmers create about a 20 point drop. So we've scored 215 million bushels of corn since launching the billion bushel challenge in December. 215 million out of our billion, we are chugging. That 215 million bushels averages a score of 11. Okay, 11.0. So that's about a 20-point drop. Your corn is better. It's about a 30-point drop. My score is -4.1. I'm right in the same type of boat as you. No manure, but cover cropping, no-till, and same kind of stuff. Then the pipeline, though, what I'm getting at, a pipeline reduces, or carbon capture, that carbon capture reduces the CI score by 30 points. Okay. The same kind of equivalent as what your corn would do. But in order to get a 30 point drop on the corn, they have to have all the bushels have the same score as your corn. Right.
Right.
Which they're not, that's not going to happen. Right. Right. So, but it's a weighted average of all the bushels. So that's where, like, as we've done that, we found that the average is 11, a 20 point drop. So they've got some of your negative ones. They got some of my negative fours. They got some of guys that when you ran the conventional stuff, they're in the 20s. Right. So the average is 11. And so that's a 20 point drop from the farmer side of things. You can stack that with the 30 point drop of the carbon capture.
Oh, okay.
Now the combination, you could have a 50 point drop. You can be darn close to CI of zero. And that's where these ethanol plants are getting close to earning up to a dollar a gallon. Typical ethanol plant, 100 million gallons. We're talking opportunity for $100 million type stuff, tens of millions of dollars coming to our rural communities, plus opening up opportunities for low carbon ethanol to go into sustainable aviation fuel at a premium. Go into markets like the low carbon fuel markets in California and Canada and stuff like that at a premium. Okay, so we're starting to look at how do we stack some of these additional opportunities while at the same time you got now low carbon DDGs coming out, low carbon corn oil coming out, or on the soybean side, right? Mm-hmm. Low carbon soybean meal. Like the stackable benefit of this is just, I think that's where, you know, some of the future phases of this, it gets really crazy.
Right. Yeah, and now this is awesome. Only good for what, 3 years right now?
Is that 3 year deal? Yep. So that's the thing, is that this is due to start on January 1, 2025. So it's fuel produced in 2025, which that fuel will be produced, of course, with the crop we're going to grow in 2024. So that's why we're pushing on now. We got to get our scores. We got to get our data organized now. So we're ready, but it's due to sunset at the end of 2027. Yeah. So it's a couple year deal. Now, a lot of conversation already about, okay, it could be extended and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, the only way it's going to get extended is if there is some even sharing, right? So there's some equitable share. There's actually some good being created, which we absolutely can here. Like doing those practices that you're doing, like it actually is good, like for water and for the air. And like, it actually is helping you to be more resilient, to build your soil health and be more profitable and be less reliant on government and taxpayer subsidies by building up soil. So in the long term, it actually can create a lot of really good outcome. And but we'll see what happens. I mean, all we can do is make hay while the sun's shining.
That's right.
And I'm like, in order to do this, so we got to have volume. I mean, we got to have significant volume of bushels because your score is low. But if you're the only guy that's got low carbon corn and paying attention, you don't move the average enough, right? So right. If an ethanol plant is buying 30 million bushels of corn, like a typical plant would buy, they got to have 10, 15, 20 million bushels of low carbon corn to offset the 29s.
Right. Okay. Which makes sense. Yeah. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys that aren't going to know about it because they haven't met you or listened to podcasts. Right. I mean, so, there's so much non-information out there.
I know there's hardly anything going out there. So that's all we can really do right now, right? Spread the word. We're trying to just make farmers aware. And this is, this is an amazing opportunity again for collaboration. It could be nothing. Okay. It could be nothing, but it could be amazing. What's laid out in the law is amazing. So hopefully it ends up being that. But we got to collaborate here. We need more people to be aware. And and getting your scores, topsoil.ag, use that code BBC95. Trying to get as many farmers to know about it as possible. You can go directly and download the GREET model and do it that way too. It's a huge pain in the butt, but if you want to, you know, save $25, you can try to do that. It'd probably take you a long time. But for me, that's kind of why I built it out the way that we did too, right? I've been in this carbon space since 2019, working in all these different carbon programs. I was just so confused as to like, why was it just pay for only people to change practice and check the box? Like, why was it not really about our actual carbon footprint? And I've been looking for years and then like found this, what, you know, was made aware of this 45Z stuff in the GREET model. I'm like, this is what I've been looking for the whole time. Like if I could have had 10 minutes and $500, like I would have done it years ago and been on this long time. I just had no idea. And that's why we just built that into the system so that more farmers can have access to it. And then utilize our dealer network and our software to help farmers to organize their data, because we have the data, but it's usually just spread out all over the place. We got to get it organized and help our friends in the biofuel industry to really maximize these dollars.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. So if they go to topsoil.ag to get their CI score, it's $500 unless you use the code BBC95, right, and you get it for $25. So that's, right, that's nice of you to knock that down and give them the opportunity cheaply, because it's so quick.
Yeah, and I would love to even do it for zero, but it's a little bit, we're keeping the riffraff out, right?
Yep.
Trying to keep the riffraff out and trying to make sure that it is legit, a little bit of skin in the game, but like just getting your data organized and knowing what's going on is huge.
It's so just like when you're a seed dealer and you give away free bags of seed, where are they going to plant them? They're going to plant them on the shittiest spot of the field. They're not going to give you any data on it. But if you make them pay $250 versus $300, they got a little skin in the game. They're going to care a little more. Same deal.
Thing even on our real model, right? $5. I would love to just give it away for free and just do like a profit share kind of thing or something like that, right? I would love to do that, but same thing. Like farmer, putting in $5, we need you to be held accountable to get the data in, because none of us are going to make anything if you don't get your data in there. So same deal on that. We've looked at, should we just give everything away totally for free? But number one, I got to keep the lights on somehow.
Well, right.
And number two, like this actually creates a ton of value. I mean, on your side, if we get anywhere close to 50% of that, $5 to make anywhere close to 200, like, jeez.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. Like, and same on mine, right? My score was -4.1. Last year did 212 bushel corn with my local plant. My number ends up being $406 an acre. Very similar to when you were playing with yours. Like, $1.92 a bushel with my local ethanol plant. Like, guys, like, let's collaborate here. Like, let's get this going. But they don't know the rules. Okay. That's why a lot of folks aren't talking about this today. They don't know the rules. So as we work, you know, towards final takeaway stuff here, it ends up being farmer, know your numbers. And then if you're communicating with the ethanol plant, say, hey, I heard about these guys, this continuum ag group. I got my score. It was a -1. I know that I can't do anything without you, you know, Mr. Ethanol Plant, but hey, I want to help and do this. I'll help to get some of my other farmers ready. If you guys are going to go about this, like farmers, we'll rise to the table and we'll help you guys. And hopefully there's enough money at the end of the day for all of us to make some here. But like I said, most ethanol plants are going to need at least 20% farmer participation just to like get below their baseline number of 50. Most ethanol plants are not in the money today. They have to get but their score below 50. So the farmer score is a 29. The 29 goes into the overall ethanol score, which is usually in the mid 50s. They've got to get below 50. Then they earn 2 cents per CI point per gallon if they meet the red tape. And so we got to help them to get below 50, and ultimately probably need about 50% farmer participation to really make this a viable option. 50% low carbon bushels, 50% default bushels to start moving the needle enough to make this go. And then, you can stack other stuff. If you got a lot of renewable energy or combined heat and power or a pipeline or whatever, like you can layer that, and we're getting close to carbon negative or carbon neutral ethanol.
That's awesome.
Damn. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of back up. So what brought you to this point? So when you started Continuum Ag, like what got you here? And thank God it got you here for all of us. Yeah. But
yeah, no, I'm a farmer, right? So I'm a seventh generation farmer from over in Washington County, Iowa. So Southeast Iowa, my family farms about 700 acres over here. My parents and I, and
I lost him.
My family's early into the cover crop stage.
There. Now you're back. We got you back. We'll go with it. Okay. You're 700 acres.
I'll back up a little bit.
Yep. Okay.
So I'm seventh generation and 700 acres, right? Yep. My family's been no-tilling since 1978, cover cropping since 2013. When we were getting into the cover crops, we were kind of struggling. We screwed things up and lost some yield, and that's a whole another entire podcast. But started doing the Haney soil health test to put some data on it, and I basically built an agronomy consulting company up around the Haney test. Okay. So that was in 2015, 2016. I graduated Iowa State in 2017, had the company up and going. There's a lot of other farmers here in Washington County doing no-till, doing cover crops, a lot of manure. So a lot of other farmers that were looking at this soil health stuff. And then we were just helping to put some numbers on it with the Haney test.
Okay.
Then launched the topsoil software in 2020, started getting involved in some of the carbon programs like with Rabobank, like with SIBO, a variety of others as well. But we've collaborated with those guys to help on data collection and consulting with their farmers. So expanded the software from just being soil sampling to being Regen Ag consulting. But was looking at this carbon stuff and just still wasn't really working out for my direct-to-farmer clients, right? Some of the farmers that were involved in these carbon programs, they were having success. Those have been really good and still involved today. But now with CI, learned about that in late 2022, you know, after the Inflation Reduction Act passed in August 2022. And I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what I've been looking for. Did the research, got it figured out, flipped the company on its head by, instead of starting with soil sampling, then an upsell to consulting, then, hey, we have this software and maybe there'll be a carbon deal someday, mm-hmm. to now it's, now we got to get our CI scores and got to get it verified. Then if you want some consulting, we can still do that. If you want some help and some cover crop recommendations, things like that, we can still do that. It's an upsell. Then we still do some of the Haney testing, but it's an additional upsell later that mm-hmm. is a small piece of the company today. But this whole thing, I mean, I've been building the solutions for myself. That's why I've been able to be successful. Everything that I've built, I built it for my own farm. But it just happened to be like what I needed for my farm, a lot of other farmers need. Now, the Haney testing stuff, like, not every farmer wants to do Haney testing. So the target market was a lot smaller. But 5.4 billion bushels goes into ethanol every year.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot bigger market.
Yeah. You
got, and then you got the soybean side that also plays into all this too. Yeah. And then this is going to impact everything else as well. And we're already in Brazil. We're, you know, I've got stuff all over in multiple other countries. So it just, so much bigger, so much more opportunity. But our mission at the end of the day is to help a million family farms improve their profitability via improving their soil health. That's the mission. Yeah. And that's been the mission for the whole time, right? So from the soil sampling and the consulting side, mm-hmm. improve profitability and soil health. This CI thing, it's still about improving profitability. And guess what? As you're implementing these practices, it's leading toward improving soil health. So it all still aligns with the mission. It still aligns with the core values. These are tax credits though, right? It's going to go away. Yeah. Like, the goalpost is going to change. But what I'm most bullish on is that for the rest of our farming careers, we're going to have to document our farming practices. It's going to be ran on different environmental outcomes. Today we're talking carbon intensity, but it's going to be other sustainability metrics or water quality or biodiversity or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whoever's going to, well, whatever they want to pay for and market, right? Yeah. It's all about marketing. It's all about marketing. That's what this is. It's all about marketing, being able to create shareholder value and market to the consumers and stuff. But document the practices, run the environmental outcome, get that verified, and that data goes with your agricultural product in the supply chain so that the next company can make their sustainability claims using that data. But it's not going away.
Yeah. Hey, whether you farm or not, or whether you like it or not, someone's going to get this money, yeah. and it might as well be you.
Part of it is like we are doing a pretty good job here too. And part of this is also, guys, like, we need to tell our story now while it's the carrot and show that we're not a 29 anymore. We're actually average of an 11, right. or in your case, -1, right? Like, or my kid, like -4, like, we're doing a good job. We can do better, right? We can all continue to do better. And we're continuing to every year. We can keep moving in the good direction. But, you know, we need to show that, hey, we're doing pretty good here in agriculture. We're going to keep doing better. But give us time. We don't need the stick. We'll use the carrot and keep moving farmers in a good direction. But what I love about this is even that guy that was conventionally tilling here today, like, still better than 29. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not going to make much money in this space. And over time, as there's more -1s, that ethanol company might not necessarily want to pay or want to buy his +21, right? The needle's going to move. Like, it's simple supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. As the supply of low carbon corn increases, the demand for high carbon corn is going to decrease. So, but this is just the way that the world's going here too. And it's an opportunity for us to make sure that farmers are at the table and that there's equitable sharing here, because there's real value to be had. And I believe that if we do have equitable share and transparency in this, that farmers are going to rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. This is going to be huge.
Yeah. Well, it already kind of is. I mean, it's getting there quick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really been fun to watch from my side. That I've been beating this drum for more than a year.
Yeah.
Freaking driving all over, killing myself to make this thing go. And now some of these other companies, they're starting to talk about it, oh, right? Yeah. You're starting to hear about it a little bit more, and other people saying, oh yeah, this CI thing, right? It's starting to become part of policy for state organizations and stuff. I'm like, you freaking bastards. I've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah.
I told you that this was coming, like, gosh darn. So
we're going to push it. We're going to get
you the right thing. I mean, it could be a big bunch of nothing. We still don't know the final rules, but it's a huge opportunity. And if it's not the biofuel thing, like, I bet you if we have 1 billion bushels of low carbon corn put together and the ethanol company isn't able to go and buy it, I bet you somebody else would probably like to buy it. Mm-hmm. Right. Or the data. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I think we'll be good. I think there'll be some opportunity there, but we'll see how it all plays out.
What can we do as farmers to help make them get the rule set? Do we need to talk to our legislature?
Yeah, I mean, Farm Bureau doing something?
We need to make sure that your legislators know how big of a deal this is. Marinette Miller Meeks, my local legislator, very, very much knows what's going on, is promoting this, already stood up for it with the debt ceiling bill discussions. She's great. Vilsack knows what's going on. Grassley's got, our Iowa people here very much so know what's going on.
Okay.
For other farmers listening, like, do be talking with your policymakers, of course. But, I mean, this was already signed into law. Mm-hmm. So now it's in the executive branch, right? So the rules are – it's not in the legislative side of things anymore. It's living with the IRS, the Department of Energy, the USDA, the Renewable Fuels Association, the Argonne National Labs guys within Department of Energy. Those guys are setting the rules. So, I mean, we need to continue to communicate to them, but – they know what's going on, and they've been arguing back and forth on the rules for a long time. Farmers, what we need to do is we just need to get our data organized. I mean, that's really the biggest thing, is we need to get our data organized. We're at 215 million bushels today. We need to continue to expand this out. If you're not ready to actually, work on certification yet, that's okay. Now, the longer we wait, the more it's going to end up being more expensive. Like, if we have to do all this in September, it's going to be a huge pain. So, like, we're doing it for $5 now. I know that I'm not going to be able to do it for $5 for forever. Like, and on the farmer, it's going to be more work on you. It's going to be more work on your agronomist. It's going to be more work on all of us. So, I do encourage, like, at least get your data organized and start getting things figured out. And then, yeah, if you're communicating with your ethanol plant, make sure that we're going to them saying, hey, how much you're paying for don't say how much you're paying for low CI corn. Or that Mitch Hora said that we're going to make $1 a bushel of low CI corn. It's not true. Like, we have no idea what you're going to make. I've never told a farmer how much they're going to make. And you might make nothing. I might make a big fat zero on all this thing. And that's going to really suck. Yeah. But we're going to go to plan B. And we're going to figure out who does want to play ball. Because there's other people that want to do it. And we proved that last year with the inset project that we did. But we need to go to our ethanol friends and say, hey, we know that this is coming. And we know that we don't have all the rules yet, but let's work together here and let's go get some farmers put together. We can organize some events, get those farmers scoring on top. So I'm happy to be part of those conversations. Of course, I've met personally with over 100 ethanol plants. Like, they know what's going on. They know that this is coming, and most of them really are excited to be able to work with their farmers. But we got to be able to show them that the farmers are ready. The data is ready. The bushels are there. We've got the low CI corn, because in order for them to pay anything, they're going to need to know. They're going to have a pretty darn good idea of what their final score is going to be at the end of, what their score is going to be in 2026 when they submit their taxes. They're basically going to need to know that in the fall of 2024 if they're going to start putting out any type of money.
Right.
And the only way they're going to know that is if we've got the bushels organized
to show them
at least a representative allotment, right? A representative allotment of what are the scores going to be, and make sure that we've got enough farmers ready to go to fulfill the demand.
Do you think this was brought out by the government to kind of to not be seen? I mean, does that no? I mean, but why was it so? Why did it take someone like you to bring it out?
I don't really know. Okay, that part still kind of blows my mind. Why is there not more people really pushing this, right? And there's other ones talking about it, right? There's other people starting to work on this, but
yeah,
I mean, I've been beating this drum freaking hard,
yeah,
really hard, because it like we just can't but I think plenty of people are staying hush hush because we don't know the rules, okay, and they don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, and I've put my reputation and name on the line to do this. It's too big of a deal to not. If it all happens, it's gonna be amazing. If not, we're gonna go to plan B, right? And as you guys said, like, I don't know, it's the right thing to do to advocate on behalf of the farmers and to get awareness out there, because we have less than 9 months and this is go time. Like, if we wait until we get the rules, which it might not even happen in 2024, like there's plenty of chance. And for some data on that, there's a similar tax credit called 40B. It's for low carbon sustainable aviation fuel. It's a 2023 and 2024 production tax credit. Very similar to this. And actually 40B ends at this year and then SAF goes under 45Z in 2025. It's very, very similar. Good indicator bill. We're 5/8 of the way through that, those two calendar years, and they still don't have the rules.
Okay.
What if that happens here in 45Z? So, but what they're going to do, they're going to get the rules here any day. Then these companies are going to, I'm assuming they all filed for tax extensions, right? Mm-hmm. Tax returns. Any of the companies that would be able to qualify. So they file extensions. Then they're going to have to go back and try to run the scores and get the data. And that's going to be a huge pain. So say that happens here. We don't get the rules until late 2025 or into 2026. We're going to be really thankful that we've got the data ready and put together, because the farmers in that are able to prove that what they sold, when they're able to prove that CI score for what they already sold, then they're in position to be able to make some money. But I mean, once we know the rules, everyone's going to be really pushing and really talking about this. I don't know, hopefully we're sitting there ready to go, and we got a lot of software stuff to keep building and a lot of people to keep hiring and a lot of dealers to continue to onboard and a lot of infrastructure to build. But, we've proven out most of the concept here already, and hopefully more people come to the table too. And we don't need to do it all. Like, I mean, if other people come and there's some competition, let's do it. Bring it on. So farmers need help, and farmers need flexibility, right? You should be able to work with whoever you want. Our pitch is, hey, we're farmers. You own your own data in our program. That's why you pay a couple bucks, right? Mm-hmm. You're not locking into somebody and giving them their data, and then they get access to get to do what they want. Like,
okay,
we're charging it because then you own it. But farmers just need to be aware. And really the overall message too is, hey, if you're not a biofuel farmer at all, right? Like, your data is still valuable. And when you're asked for data on your cattle production, right? Or on your turkey production, or on your corn going to export, when they start asking for data, we need to know, why are they asking for that data? And what's in it for them, and what's going on? And again, not that we can't be greedy and we don't want to create division, but hey, what data do you want? And hey, I'll help you to get that data and help you to tell a better story, and let's create more value. But we need to have equitable share. Like, you gotta, if we're going to create value, let's share in the value. So.
Well, Mitchell, thank you so much for your time. You're super busy. Yeah. This was awesome.
I ranted a lot, but hopefully that helped. And I appreciate you guys, taking the time and helping to spread this word too. And if I can ever be of assistance, hit me up. We're all over on social media, our YouTube page. We got stuff out there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hit them. So Continuum A or Continuum.ag. What was the other? Well, you can get to topsoil.ag through Continuum.
Yeah, or you can just go direct all over social media at Continuum Ag.
Yep.
You can Google Mitchell Hora.
Good stuff. It's like CI score king. Okay. Awesome. This was great. This was awesome. April 4th, it's going to go out tomorrow night. So Looking forward to it. So we'll push the heck out of it.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.